got your Bible, your device, hold it up, and let's make our confession. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind, it's alert. My heart, it's receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith gets stronger and stronger. Give God your best shout. Hallelujah! A shout of victory. Amen. Open your Bible, if you would, to the New Testament. If you would, to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. I'm excited about this weekend because this weekend is all about the theme I have decided. This weekend, it's a one-off, not a series. It's a celebration weekend. This is water baptism weekend. Now, I don't know how important water baptism is to you. I don't know what you've been taught. I don't know what you've been heard. You've heard about water baptism. I don't know if you put it off, if you didn't understand it, if you didn't think it was important. I want to show you how important water baptism is today for you and me. Water baptism is all about making a statement. It's all about telling the world. It's a public profession. It's being a public witness, water baptism. Water baptism is simply saying, I have decided to follow Jesus. Water baptism is all about our past being washed away, our past being washed away. Water baptism is symbolic. It's all about our past being washed away and forgiven, and a new identity given. Water baptism is all about the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Water baptism is symbolic. It won't save you, but it's a symbol of making a statement. Water baptism is a statement. It's a symbol. It's a public confession. It's a public witness. It's telling the world, all of our friends and our family, that if God can change my life, He can change your life. Water baptism is all about our past being washed away and forgiven, and a new identity given. So water baptism is all about. You know, let me tell you my story. You know, I got born again when I was 11 years old. And then it wasn't for a couple years later that I got water baptized. And for me, it was powerful. It was so powerful. Now, I didn't have the revelation I'm going to share with you. In fact, what I'm sharing with you today, I've never had this revelation on water baptism. And I got baptized in water when I was 13. And what I'm sharing with you, I have never shared in this church. Kim and I were talking about it last night when we got home. God gave this revelation to me this week about water baptism. I have decided. But I got born again when I was 11 years old. And, you know, what can you do when you're 11 years old? And what have you done? I mean, you know, we've all done crazy things up until 11. But I got born again when I was 11. And then I found out about water baptism in the church. They taught on it one or two times and said they were going to have it. And I just felt led, I need to do that. And so I was 13 years old and I got baptized in water. And it's symbolic. You know, just like I have a wedding ring on here today. Now, I can't get it off, but I got a wedding ring on here today. And this wedding ring is symbolic. It's symbolic of my marriage. In 2 weeks, Kim and I celebrate 44 years of marriage. Give the Lord a big praise. Without Him, it couldn't happen. 2 weeks, 44 years. Next year, 45, we're celebrating. I may take her on a month-long cruise, so everybody pray up. Amen. Hallelujah. But this is not my marriage, but the ring is symbolic, telling the world I'm married 44 years. Water baptism does not save us. We're not saved by the water. We're not saved by being dunked and coming up. That doesn't save us, but it's symbolic, saying to our family and our friends in the world, God changed my life. I'm a new person. I have a new identity. Now listen very carefully. Here's the revelation I'm going to talk about for the next 25 minutes. You know, you and I should not live out of our old identity. You and I should live out of our new identity. You and I shouldn't listen to what other people say about us. It's what does God say about us. It's not what other people and their expectations for us. It's what does God see in us. Are you listening today, church? You see, you and I have all been called names. You and I have all had to deal with names in our life. Curse words, slang, made fun of, nicknames. We were all put in a group, a tribe, a category. We were all called things, named things. We've all been hurt. We've all been misunderstood. We all live with people trying to put us in a box, hold us down, limit us from our potential. You and I, if we'll begin to live out of our new man, new woman, new identity. When you begin to live out of your new identity, not what other people have said about you, but what does God say, it's in the Bible, about you. It's not what other people expect out of you. We rise and fall to other people's expectations. We rise and fall to other people's expectations. It's not about what other people expect out of us. It's what does God see in us. And when we live out of that new identity, we live stronger. When you live out of that new identity and who you are in Christ, when you live out of what you have in Christ, who you are in Christ, what you can do in Christ, it positions you to receive all that God has for you. I never saw it before. I've been a Christian for all these years. I didn't see it till this week. I never put the two together, that water baptism is connected actually to how strong I live for God. Being baptized in water is a statement. It's saying that I now have a new identity. I'm a new creation. I'm a new person. I'm not that old person. Don't ruin me by taking me to my past. Don't stifle me. Don't paralyze me. Don't rob me of my potential. And when you and I live out of our new identity, there's an anointing. There's a strength to live strong and position yourself to receive all that God has for you and me. Come on, somebody, give God a big hand clap. So, water baptism is symbolic of our old past. Our old past. Maybe there's some things in your life that you wish you hadn't have done. Well, you know, in Christ, when we're buried in Him and we're risen with Him, when we accept Christ, become a Christ follower, what happens? By His blood, doesn't it? He washes that away. Oh, my goodness. You know, water baptism is all symbolic about how that Jesus Christ has washed away our past. And forgiven. And then in place of that, a new identity has been given. No longer do we have to live in shame. No longer do we have to live out of guilt. No longer do we have to live bitter, angry because of what people named us, blamed us, cursed us, bigotry, prejudice, belittling. We didn't fit in. They let us down. They disappointed us. They talked about us. Aren't you glad we don't have to live out of bitterness? If we live out of blame, our life will be lame. And water baptism is symbolic. It's a type and shadow of when you and I become Christ followers. No longer do we have to live in bitterness. No longer do we have to live fearing our future, worrying about tomorrow. Oh, I mean, it was a great day. It was a good day when I was baptized in water. It really was. It was significant. Some people blow over it. Some people don't see the importance of it. Some people say, what's the big deal about it? It is a big deal because it's symbolic and it's significant. And you know what I've done down through my life? Is I've looked back to when I was baptized in water, and that was a marker for me. When people say, Dave, you'll never make it, I look back at that marker, and Christ in me says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Come on, somebody. Addiction. Oh, you may be an addict here today. You may be dealing with alcohol and drugs, pornography, cursing, fear, worry, depression. I've got good news for you. Every Thursday night in this church, we have a small group called Celebrate Recovery. Meets in this building in the Rock Express every Thursday night. That's for you. So you can be free from every addiction. Last Wednesday night, I taught a sermon on how to overcome every addiction in your life. And guess what? I opened up and I told people my addictions. You need to get the CD just to hear that. So no longer are you an addict. Defeat. Oh my goodness. When Jesus came into our life, what did he do? He washed away the water today. The next service, we're having water baptism. I am baptizing over 50 people in water. And do you know what? The first two candidates, are Kim and I grandkids. Somebody, praise the Lord. Water baptism is all about God washing away our past and forgiving it. And in place of it, a new identity is given. And when you live out of that new identity, you live stronger. Why do you think Kim was intentionally reminding us to declare we're sons and daughters of God? She was doing that on purpose. Because when you and I understand that we're kings and we're priests, it will position you, it will put an anointing on you to stand in a position where you can believe for God's very best for your life. You no longer are a defeated person. God wipes that away. You no longer have to live, well, my mother was a manic depressive, my grandmother was a manic depressive, but you're not. You're a new creation. You're born again. You're a Christ follower, washed in the blood. That doesn't name you. A person who's up and down, you're free from that. You can overcome that. He washes depression away. Lost, he washes it away. Slavery, whatever's held you back, whatever's limited you, that inferior attitude, that poor self-image, he washes it away, and he forgives all of our sin. And in place of that, a new identity. Live out of that new identity. Live strong. I want to take it from Lance Armstrong. Y'all remember him? That was his motto, live strong. Well, I say live strong and be in a position. It's not what other people are saying about you today. It's what does God say about you today. It's not what other people expect out of you today. They don't expect much. And you and I rise and fall on other people's expectations. I say it's what God sees in you today. Live out of that today in Jesus' name. Give God your best praise, would you? Amen. All right, now I want to build a case on why it's important. Is that cool? Okay, Matthew chapter 3. Boy, there's an anointing here today. Number one, why is it important? Because Jesus did it. Because Jesus did it. Jesus is our role model. Say it with me. Jesus is our role model. So we need to do it. If it wasn't important, Jesus wouldn't have done it. So let's look at it. Matthew 3:13. You ready to get in the Word, church? Here we go. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by his cousin, John. Next verse. But John tried to talk him out of it. What's trying to talk you out of it today? What's telling you that it's not important, it's not needed, it doesn't matter? It does matter. It is important. It is significant. It's a marker. You can look back on it in your life when you're challenged, when people tell you you're a nothing, a nobody, no future, amount to nothing. They name you names. They put you in a box. They put you in a segment of society of being losers in their mind. It's a marker to look back and say, all that has been washed away. And in place of that, a new identity given to me. So he says, I am the one who needs to be baptized by you. He said, why are you coming to me, John, to Jesus? Next verse, verse 15. But Jesus said, it should be done. What about water baptism? It should be done. It should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So Jesus was doing it to fulfill God's plan, God's purpose. Carry out his commandments. Carry out all of his commandments. So John agreed to baptize him. Next verse. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were open. Now, I want you to see, after the baptism, notice Jesus came what? Up, out of the water. Notice he came up, out of the water. That tells me that sprinkling is not in the Bible. Now, sprinkling people mean well. I know they mean well. I know their hearts are right. But family, there's no place you can find in the Bible where sprinkling is biblical. It's man-made, a man-made tradition. People mean well, but it's not Bible doctrine. You can't find it in the Bible. You can find it in man-made rules, but you can't find it in the Bible. Jesus is our role model. He came up out of the water. Now, I want you to see the Trinity. Daniel was singing about the Trinity today. I believe in God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You all remember that? And here's the Trinity. For those of you who are dealing with the issue of Trinity, here's the Trinity. So Jesus came up out of the water. The heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God. So we have God the Son being water baptized. Water baptized. We have God the Holy Spirit, says, descending like a dove and settling on him. Didn't say he was a dove. Didn't say it was a dove. Didn't say it was a dove. It said like a dove. Like a dove. Didn't say the Holy Spirit was a dove. Didn't say a bird came down and landed on Jesus' head. It says like a dove. So we see Jesus in the water and the Holy Spirit descending upon him. That's called anointing. I really believe that when you come up out of the water in obedience to Scripture, there's a fresh anointing that comes on your life. A fresh anointing of approval that comes on your life. Next verse, he says, and a voice from heaven. That's God the Father. Everybody say Trinity. So there we see God the Son in the water, God the Holy Spirit, a fresh anointing descending, and God the Father, the heavens open, and God declares a blessing. I believe there's a fresh anointing and there's a blessing to be decreed on people who follow the commands of water baptism. I believe that water baptism is connected to how strong you live for God. When you understand how powerful it is, then it's a marker that you look back to in your life. And you say, I'm not what the world says. I'm not even what my parents say. I'm not what the pastor or the priest say or the Sunday school teacher. I'm not what my peers say, my neighbors say. I'm not what tradition says or my culture. I am what God says that I am. And I can have what God says I can have. And I can do what God says I can do. My past has been washed away and forgiven. And in place, a new identity given. Amen? So he says here, and a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved son. And look what God says about when we get baptized in water. Oh my, you know, Kim and I are so excited that I get to baptize my grandkids today. Oh my goodness, we're going to party after church today. On the way in, we said, where do you guys want to go to eat? Wherever you guys want to go to eat today, we're going to celebrate. We're rejoicing. We're proud grandparents. We are thankful. We give God all the glory. But greater than that, their parents, our kids are so excited, and all of the family so excited. But greater than that, their Heavenly Father is rejoicing. It's bringing God joy. Come on, let's give God our best praise today. Amen. So why do we do it? Number one, because Jesus is our role model. Number two, why do we do it? Acts 2:38. Look at Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be what? But we do it because it's the first step after salvation. You know, here at church, you know, I thank God for our church and our campus and our buildings and all the projects. I'm so thankful for this campus, aren't you? And you own it. This is your church. Yeah, you're not just a member, you're an owner. Amen. It rises and falls on you. Amen. And so, you know, I'm thankful for all this. But did you know the early church didn't have buildings? Some of you are shocked by that. No, the early church didn't have buildings. They met in homes. In small groups. They didn't have a building. And do you know that when people got born again, like here in our services, every service people get born again or rededicate their life. Every service at your church. I hope you understand how awesome that is. Every service people do. And then we say, you know, we give you an opportunity to come forward at the end and tell our prayer partner and find out the next step. But you know, in the early church, they didn't have people come forward. There was no buildings. In the early church, they didn't say, okay, if you made a decision today, you know, come to the altar, come to the front of the church. They didn't have any buildings. They met in homes. So what was the sign, the symbol? What was the outward manifestation, the public declaration that there was a life change, a heart change? Water baptism. Water baptism. And so notice that the first step after salvation is what? Water baptism. So what does that teach us? Water baptism doesn't save us. You may have the question, do I have to be baptized in water to go to heaven? No. But if you follow through and understand what we're talking about today, you'll live stronger until you go to heaven. And you'll partake of more of God's blessing and promises and his best while you're here on this earth. Amen. Come on, I love you. Give God a big praise for revelation knowledge today. Hallelujah. He said, repent, be baptized, some of you, a few of you, every one of you, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the next step, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Number three. So number one, why? Number one, because Jesus is our role model. Number two, why? Because it's the first step. It's the first step after getting born again. It's significant. It's a statement. It's a marker. It's obedience. It's telling your family and your friends that I no longer am that old person you used to know. These 50-plus candidates in the next service are saying, if God can change my life, he can change your life. Oh, my goodness. And God honors it. There's a fresh anointing. There's a new anointing. There's a special blessing that comes on it when we do it in faith and we release our faith. Oh, my goodness. And number three, why do we do it? It's found, go with me if you would, or just look on the overheads in Romans chapter 6. It's symbolic of a new life. It's making a statement. Just like I told you, my wedding ring. This is not my marriage. But this is symbolic of Kim and I celebrating 44 years of marriage 2 weeks from now. It's not my marriage, but it's symbolic telling the world, I'm married. The same way with water baptism, we're telling the world we're married to a new master, a new savior. We're no longer married to the devil, the world culture, or our old us. We are now celebrating a new life with a new identity, and all those things that used to describe our life, all those things that named us and tagged us and put us in a segment of society that we didn't want to be in, Jesus washed it away. And it's forgiven. And in its place, he has given us a new identity. And if you'll begin to live out of your new identity, you'll live stronger and you'll position yourself for more of God's blessing. Someone asked Oral Roberts one time, "Why are you so blessed? Oral, why are you so blessed?" Here was his answer. Now, most people are going to miss this, but it goes right along with my message today. Oral said, "I just believe I'm supposed to be blessed." Folks, to you, because you're a child of God, you should just expect to be blessed. You know, my kids and my grandkids expect different rights and privileges in our house just because they belong in the Blunt household. Oh, praise the Lord. All right, Romans chapter 6. Y'all ready? This is the best one, the last one. Look at this. So what do we do? Keep on sinning so God can keep on forgiving? Next verse. I should hope not. I love the message paraphrase, folks. Look at it. If we've left the country where sin reigned, left that old country. Now, a little illustration. Y'all remember Moses when he took the children of Egypt, out of Egypt, and he was to bring them out to bring them in, right, church? He was to bring them out of Egypt into the promised land. How many of you know they didn't get into the promised land? They died off in the wilderness. Do you know why? They weren't living out of their identity. They didn't see themselves as God's chosen people. They didn't see themselves as Israel, God's chosen nation. How did they see themselves? Oh, when they looked at the giants, here's what they said. We are like grasshoppers. They said, we are like not the children of God, the nation of Israel, God's special people, God's apple of his eye, God's peculiar people. They weren't living out of their identity. They came out of Egypt, but Egypt was still in them. I say, family, you got to leave that old country. You got to get it out of your mind and your head and your thought life. If you're going to overcome addiction, alcoholism, pornography, regret, bitterness, hurt, disappointment, depression, and fear, and hopelessness. So he said they left that old country. He said, now how can we still live in our old house there? Or didn't you realize that we packed up? Have you packed up? We packed up and we left there for good. We have decided God's better than our past. The church is better than our past. The church community is the hope of the world, and it's better than my past. I'm not going back. I'm not looking back. I don't want to live back. I want to leave the old country, and I want to go to a new land. Look at the next verse. Verse 3. This is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind us. When we came up out of the water, we entered a new country. A new country, a new identity, a new person, a new creation, a new mindset, a new perspective, a new outlook, a new power, a new family, a new father. We came up out of the water. We entered into this new country of grace. You and I cannot overcome our past, even though it's forgiven and washed away. Other people will remind us of our old status, our old image, the old us, the old habits, the old patterns. But thanks be unto God, he gave us grace to live in this new country, to live out of our identity, to possess our destiny. Amen? Let's throw patty cake. Let's give God a big hand clap. Come on, let's celebrate a new life in a new land. Next verse, verse 4. This is what happens in baptism and the life of Jesus means. When we were lowered into the water, it's like the burial of Jesus. When we are raised up out of the water, it's like the resurrection of Jesus. Verse 5. Each of us is raised into what? Light-filled world. No longer do you see negative. No longer do you see can't. No longer are you sarcastic. No longer are you negative. No longer do you stay in the mully grubs. Now the future is bright, full of light, full of joy, full of peace, full of excitement and expectation. Each of us are raised into a light-filled world by our Father. Everybody say Father. As the team comes out, you know, I had a good natural father. I don't know what kind of dad you had. Maybe he was a deadbeat dad. Maybe he was a walkout dad. Maybe he was a dad that was never there. Maybe you don't even know who your dad is. Maybe you had a good father. Maybe you had a dysfunctional father. I don't know what kind of dad you had. I was blessed and I was fortunate to have a good dad. My dad died way too early. He died at 56 years old. 56. My dad was my hero. He was my best friend. He was a role model. My dad had rheumatoid arthritis, living on disability, and they were putting medicine and kind of practicing. And I'm not, you know, we got beyond all that, but it was the medicine that reacted and killed him. And, you know, my dad, you know, he was my best friend. He'd call me every Sunday night, Dave, how'd church go? How many people got born again? How many people were added to the church? What do you teach on? I missed it when he died. He wasn't there calling me on Sunday nights. My dad, you know, seriously, when I think of my father, and I'm not exaggerating, every night growing up, their bedroom was right across from my bedroom. I'd see my dad get on his knees and pray. Every night. My dad, you know, he was a hard worker. He was of that World War II generation work ethic. That's where I got my work ethic, was from my father. He was a great dad. He was a great father. He was a role model to me. He would drag us to church when he was tired. He was a good dad. Listen very carefully. As good as my father was, he could never fill all the gaps in my life. As good as my dad was, he could never fulfill all the gaps in my life. The only one, your husband can't do it, your wife can't do it, your parents can't do it, your boyfriend can't do it, your girlfriend can't do it, your hobbies can't do it, your friends can't do it. The only one who can fill the gaps in your heart today, the empty places, is our Heavenly Father. And notice here, it says each of us have been raised into a light-filled world by our Father, Heavenly Father. What happens? Please, family, look at this. It's worth coming to church so that we can see. Do you have a vision today? Can you see your future today? Family, we have a vision as a church. And what's that? To tell the world who think that God is a bad God, they have a wrong picture of God, we want to fix that. And we want to let the world know. When you give in the offering, you're letting the world know God is for them. And God has a purpose for their life. A lot of people don't see where they're going. But you know what? When you and I find Christ and become followers, and we live out of our new identity and not out of our past, and we let the old world get out of us, we pack up, you know, and leave it behind, what happens is we see we have a vision that our future is greater than our past. I don't ever want to go back. I don't ever want to go back. And so that's what water baptism is all about. We can see where we're going in our new grace country. So number one, why do we do it? Because Jesus is our role model. Number two, why water baptism? Tell me, church, because it's the first step after salvation. And number three, because it's symbolic of a new life.